You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new report has detailed the importance of the 1987 Montreal Protocol, which protected the ozone layer by banning, chlorofluorocarbons. The report runs simulations as to what would have happened without the ban, finding the Earth may have been 0.5 to 1 degrees warmer. NOAA spoke to one of the authors of the report, Olaf Morgenstern, and started by asking why he was interested in researching the ozone layer.
So my business is called Chemistry Climate Modeling. So it's the linkages between composition changes in the atmosphere and climate change, really. That's what drives me. And the ozone depletion in the Southern Hemisphere is known to be a major factor in climate change. It drives shifts in the position of the storm track, for example. It influences the winds, it strengthens the winds over the Southern Ocean. So it's got a range of consequences. And so, I decided at one point several years ago already to do a well-avoided simulation where you have a theoretical evolution of ozone-depleting substances. 3% per year is the growth rate that you impose. And then as you do that, so that in the 70s and 80s, that would more or less mirror the actual evolution of these species. So they were just growing, pretty consistently, strong growth in this period. But then, of course, people noticed that is not a good situation to be in because they were concerns about ozone depletion, and so then these substances were eventually phased out. But anyway, so the hypothetical case is that this hadn't happened, and so therefore I produced the simulation, and it's also been used in one other publication to show that yes, the Montreal Protocol is already protecting the UV climate that we have at the moment. It would be noticeably and significantly there would be significantly more UV radiation at the surface if it wasn't for the Montreal Protocol at this point of time.
And so this research, to me at least, it seemed a little bit more optimistic than a lot of the reports we get around climate change, which are pretty, can be depressing at times. Is it right that this sort of found that humans ended up doing the right thing and it was sort of a good outcome from their action in the 80s?
Indeed. I mean, the Montreal Protocol is sometimes held up as, the most successful environmental treaty in the history of mankind. If you follow the debate around climate change, you notice that these conferences of the parties that are there to, stem climate change, they are struggling with all sorts of problems and so on. The Montreal Protocol was different. People understood that there was a problem. The substances in question, these ozone depleting substances, were not as ubiquitous as is CO2. Namely, they were used in only a few applications, refrigeration, spray cans, and a few other things. Alternatives were found, and the companies that made these substances saw money in the alternatives. And so therefore, back in 87, the Montreal Protocol was signed. It was subsequently strengthened, so to put us actually on a path of declining ozone-depleting substances. And as a result, the abundance of these species in the stratosphere reached a peak in 1997 and has been declining ever since. So that's truly good news for the planet. And this paper actually makes clear that. Where the good news is even better than we had appreciated before.
And so you talk about how the Montreal Agreement was perhaps one of the most successful environmental treaties of all time. What made it so successful? Was it finding these alternatives? Was it possibly because the direct result of CFCs were seen more clearly and faster than some other causes of climate change?
It was clear that depleting the ozone layer was not in anyone's interest, there wasn't after some initial resistance, of course, but Pretty quickly, everybody came around to the idea that phasing out these substances was necessary to protect the ozone layer. And in fact, as I said, that there was even business interests involved that came around to the conclusion that yes, there is money to be made in the alternatives, and therefore, in the absence of any opposition, substantial opposition, the protocol was signed. So it's an example of how to go about an environmental problem that was quite pertinent at the time. Yeah.
So do you think when we sort of see these other big sort of triggers of climate change, such as fossil fuels, for example, in order to, I understand they're slowly getting phased out, but to ramp that up, like CFCs were sort of taken out, do we need to find sort of viable options that are commercially successful? Is that what's going to really cause change? Are there any lessons you think you can draw from this research about tackling other parts of climate change?
Providing viable alternatives is indeed a key part of the strategy. So if you tell people you can't drive anymore, for example, but you don't give them an alternative way of going about their lives, you will probably fail. We do have some alternatives now at our disposal, and in fact, by quite a few calculations, renewable energy, for example, today is cheaper than various forms of fossil fuel energy that you could also invest your money in. So we are getting to the point that the Montreal Protocol was at, that we have alternatives. They are commercially viable. They are even cheaper than doing it the old way. But we do have a lot of stranded investment, essentially, in fossil fuel extraction and usage. So our whole lifestyle is built around using fossil fuels, and it has been that way for a long time. So it's a bigger problem. It remains, and of course, a lot of countries, several countries, are set to lose a lot of money if oil and coal and gas are phased out. And some of these countries are also big emitters, and you just getting them on board in this process is not necessarily straightforward. But we shall see. I mean, there's a conference of the parties coming up in November in Glasgow, we shall see what comes out of that. I will watch it with interest.
And while fossil fuels and those sort of things remain a bigger problem, does your research about some past environmental agreements and people coming together to combat climate change, does that give you any hope for future action against climate change to protect the environment?
It does give me hope. It shows that when the science is unequivocal, when we know that what we're doing is not good for us, we can take action. The Montreal Protocol is a very good example of that. There are also other examples, across environmental science, where we have noticed that, for example, some of our activities used to kill trees in Central Europe. We found a way to avoid that problem. So yes, I have hope. The problem is we're running out of time.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.